from the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between. This is the 5050 Podcast, powered by the 5050 Podcast Network. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 5050 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another edition of Inside Texas High School Soccer, Episode 8. It is a special, what do we call it, Rafan? After dark or up all night edition, right? So definitely not the latest we've started and not the latest we've gotten off either by any means. Day one of championship week in the books. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Pretty good. So interesting games. I guess the weather took a toll on some.
Yeah. It's always the weather. No, right. Yeah. I mean, I guess what was slated originally in the forecast was supposed to be showers originally, right? So mm-hmm. I guess sometimes wind is worse, right? But hey, we'll take it. At least we're here. Day one's in the books. Got a great show today, this evening, I should say. So I'm going to take a look back at day one. Got a special guest joining us shortly. And then we're also going to look ahead. We'll look at day two, the matches that are coming up ahead tomorrow. And then we'll wrap up by looking at the 4A girls final, because we'll actually crown a champion, our first champion tomorrow. So very quick turnaround for the 4A girls. I know that's kind of a heated debate for a number of reasons, and we'll get into that as well. Initial, very brief thoughts besides the weather today, Coach.
And today we had some very interesting matchups. A couple of new teams in the state tournament, some familiar faces. Where are we going to get some surprises, or we're going to get the quote unquote the dream matchups for the finals, which we'll get into in a bit.
Yeah. I mean, let it be known here, right? There's a lot that I got wrong in leading up to what I called as far as going through our brackets. But the one thing that I was calling for, you as my witness, probably since maybe mid to early February, was the 4A boys matchup that we will see on Friday. And again, we'll get into that more. So definitely should be a great matchup. Those, the 4A boys, I'm sure they're counting their blessings that they have at least one recovery day in between the semifinal and the final. So we'll get into all of that tonight. Thank you for joining us. Again, make sure you like, rate, subscribe. You can find us on Twitter, X, I call it Twix, also at 50_50pod. We're on Twitch as well at 50_50pod, Instagram at 50_50podcast, and as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. If you are watching this live, obviously you can see it on the header here. If you are listening to this, you're listening to this later, again, just follow, go there. You can also find the audio podcast portion on all the major podcast platforms, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Go on there, like, rate, subscribe. As I often say, that always helps us become more visible and gives us more opportunity to put out more content. So as I often say, if you like what you hear, like the content, everything, go on there. Tell us you think we're great. If you don't like, you think we stink, complain to Rafa, not to me. Okay. So just kidding. But yeah, man, we're excited to be here. We're going to get going, we're going to bring in our special guest, who is no stranger to the podcast.
He
is
yo.
One and only Alexi Upton, the head men's soccer coach of Sulphur Springs Wildcats. Coach, what's going on?
How are you guys? Excellent. Had a really good first day one, and I can't wait to talk about it. So
awesome. Before we get into all of that, just tell us, how are things? Obviously unfortunate, that you're not participating this weekend. You know, don't want to open any fresh wounds there, right? But no. I know. But still, I always try to tread carefully with coaches on that. But still, I mean, how are things, wrapping up the season, starting transition into off season, even though our sports season isn't over yet? How are things?
I think they're really great. We got a great group of kids. We started 8 sophomores, so super young. Future's bright, and definitely have some room to grow and room to get better. Back-to-back district champs, so we're only going to get up and get better going from there. Really good group of kids that we're just going to build off of. Then you talk about fresh wounds, like more on our girls side more than us. Like yeah, our girls were up 2-0 to Panther Creek, regional semis, doing great. Injuries hit, problems hit, like that game throws away, but they, I mean, that's a fresh wound. Like, but us, you know, we've had some time to process and, you know, just the young group, and that young group's got to get better. It's just as simple as that. So,
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously remind me later, we'll give you the nice fresh plug of the 4A Elite Tournament. You got a great, so make sure we'll mention that at some point tonight. Well, look at you. Where's mine, man? Hey, where's mine?
I'll send it. Give me an address. I've seen you and Rafa one. Give me an address.
But definitely, you know, excited to have you here. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Coach Upton, who's been on the podcast before and who's also guested with us as well a couple of times, definitely knows his stuff, particularly focused on the 4A level, and who's working a lot of things within our sport at levels across, you know, multiple levels really. And we'll dive into that a little bit more, but then that is probably definitely something that we can have on a separate platform at a later time, Coach. But again, glad that you're here. Happy that you're joining us. And every time I see you, man, you start to look more. You have more and more hair on your face. You're starting to look more and more like Rafa and I. So.
Yeah, look gray in here somewhere too. Yeah.
Hey, as long as you're not looking like me up here, man, you're good. You're good. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead. So we'll refresh here really quick. We're gonna take a look at. We're gonna kind of set the stage for the day that was. Really quick. So today, Wednesday, April 10th, we had four matches that consisted of the 4A girls and 4A boys semifinals, started at 11 a.m. with Salina versus Lumberton, 1:30 p.m. Of course, these were all approximate times because we did have overtime involved here. 4A girls semifinal number two, Salado versus Bernie. Then we Roads shifted to the evening with a 4A boys with semifinal number one between Bernie and Kilgore, and then as well as the nightcap, the one that we might have been probably the match of the day, right? It was an unbelievable match. Navasota versus Sanelli to wrap up the evening. And I think they might have saved the best for last there. So Coach, I know you're there. You're joining us because you're actually there. In Georgetown. Are you there for the entire weekend or what's going on?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Awesome. Okay. So tell us a little bit, you know, we're going to try to really go game by game. Right. So, and let it be known, I'm fresh. I was tracking this as close as I could while also doing admin duty at a area round track meet. So that was a lot of fun, right? I kept getting yelled at to get off my phone, but yeah, I was tracking this as best as I could. Definitely doing our research, playing catch up as well. So by all means, I know Rafa, same thing, jump in here, Coach Upton, jump in here as needed, but you know, first match of the day, Salina Lumberton, final score, Salina 3, Lumberton 1. And this was a match that was scoreless at halftime and all four goals came in the second half. Initial thoughts on this one, Coach Upton?
You know, this, it's Salina being Salina. You know, I mean, I really feel like that's what that was. I mean, they're just a quality program. You know, their coach is a really, really solid guy of just kind of keeping their group organized. Lots of talent in that group. And they really, you know, Coach Adams, Alexander Adams, he does a really good job of just, he's got a lot of talent. He's really good at organizing that talent, and they're effective. They're strong. They're never really out of a game. They're very good tactically. They stay in the game the whole time and they find a way to win games. They got a lot of smart girls that play at high levels of play and they just go out and win games. I mean, as simple as that, you know, they're 0-0 at halftime, like you said. And then they just kind of, they do smart things. They put good shots on goal and they slowly just build their way into games and, and they just take over games. That's what they do all the time. So.
Now I got to ask you, I got to make sure, right? We don't want to get you in trouble. I know you're calling or you're on this call live from the hotel.
Yes,
you kind of sound like you're in timeout right here. I want to make sure you don't get in trouble and get yelled at. You sound kind of low. Just, you know, so just cause we're like, obviously the after dark, bring the energy. I don't want you to dial it down by any means.
No, here I'll turn the mic, but yeah.
No, I mean, you're good. You're good. I just had to give you some grief there, but Rafa, initial thoughts to follow up with Coach Upton shared there.
Yeah, this is I guess an interesting matchup because what Lumberton's done the last 3 years, I think people are kind of saying, is Salina vulnerable this year compared to the last 2 years? And then you mentioned about that 0-0 tie at the half. That was kind of similar to what happened last year with Bernie and Salina. But then they turned it up in that second half. The weather, the wind kind of affects some of the play early on as far as making those adjustments for both teams. Like who had the advantage in the first half when it, as far as with the wind?
You know, I mean, that's the thing. I don't really feel like anybody had that first half advantage. You know, both teams kind of went into that half like, oh, hey, this is our game. You know, regardless of whether you were going into the win or not, like, hey, we're in this, you know, 0-0. I think we've both done some promising things. We've had some chances. You've had some chances. I thought it was really 50-50 going into that half. And then, like I said, Salina does a really good job of just building their way in the games. Mm-hmm. They're just smart, a lot of good girls, a lot of talent. And Coach Adams keeps them nice and organized. They're very structurally sound, and they just put good shots on target. They make good decisions, and they just kind of build their way into the game. Like, simple as that.
Right. Now, what would you say, Coach, putting your coach hat on, right, at what was maybe, if you could identify the key adjustment early in that second half that started to kind of sway? Because I get what you're saying in terms mm-hmm. of, you're right, Salina just grows into a match, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Some of it is talent. Some of it is also just is execution. Some of it is coaching adjustments, right? But from the adjustment perspective, what was maybe the key adjustment you were able to identify that started swinging it the match more and more in the favor of Salina?
I think just a little more of an emphasis of maybe it seemed like they kind of tried to push and play a little more direct. It just seemed like they wanted to go a little more. They got a little more comfortable as the game came in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, playing against Lumberton, I felt they were like, hey, we're comfortable here. We're not really getting, you know, pressed, or there's not a lot of offensive chances against us. So right. I think we can kind of push ourselves forward a little bit and get more after the game. And that's really all it was. You know, they just kind of got after the game a little more, had some more quality chances on goal, and then they resulted in goals. I mean, they kind of just pushed up the field a little more and made more mm-hmm. chances happen. I mean, it wasn't really anything massively tactically, no formational change, no massive, you know, let's change from possession to playing long balls. It wasn't anything like that. It was more just, let's grow into the game. Let's push a little more. Let's be a little more aggressive offensively. And then they got the reward mm-hmm. for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, right, as I was tracking this closely, the biggest initial surprise for me wasn't that Lumberton was in it, because Lumberton's a great squad. They've mm-hmm. clearly established themselves, right? This is their yes. third straight year in Georgetown. Mm-hmm. I think for me, what was the surprise was that there was just no goals at all, mm-hmm. right? Either side, anything. You knew it was going to be, you know, tight. I think that was the thing. So, I don't know, I guess as the day grew, you know, went on, it seemed like the wind worked again. Even if you had it at your back, right, the wind at your back, it almost worked against you with the exception of maybe the Bernie boys, right? You could say that, right? But still, that was just a great goal that we'll get into later as well. But it seemed, I don't know, it seemed like the wind in itself just was a neutralizing factor, whether you're going against it or with it at your back, right? Did you feel like that was maybe the case?
It was hard. It was a really, really hard wind. I mean, you know, like the teams that are going against that, I mean, there was a lot of balls where, you know, you get that whiplashing wind effect where like you play it and then it just like curls back straight up and then just plops right back down in your face. Yeah. I mean, it was a good, strong wind. You know, watching the game, I watched it in a couple different places because I was talking to a couple different people. And when you watched it down on like that first layer that usually the fans are on, mm-hmm. when you watch it down there, you're like, dang, it's really windy down here. It's a noticeable effect. And then when you watch it like way up in the stands, you're like, oh, I don't feel it at all. You know what I mean? Like you're really? Up in the last yeah. row of the stands. You're like, I don't feel it at all. So it was a really like an in-game on the field thing that it was really affecting these kids. And yeah. especially as those like boys games came into the later part of the day, mm-hmm. it was definitely like a tale of two halves kind of thing for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you feel did the first half, was it windier earlier in the day with the girls?
It kind of built into the day. It was really like those boys games where it hit a lot harder. It was some yeah. in the girls games for sure, but it was yeah. really those boys games where it started to hit a lot harder.
Gotcha. So this weather report brought to you by Coach Upton of Sulphur Springs. So appreciate that.
No meteorologist.
He's also a meteorologist he moonlights as a meteorologist. So, So this ends Salina 3, Lumberton 1. Salina's in their third, you know, third consecutive, going for the three-peat, third consecutive state title match. And then we'll get into game two in a second. But as Salina wraps up this one, where do you assess? So Rafa, from your perspective, Coach Upton, this is kind of for both of you. Where do you assess that Salina is right now? Yes, they won, but just in terms of coming out of that match, where do you think they're at as far as just health, preparation? Because the big thing, part of the reason why I asked that is, as we all know, the 4A girls, there is no recovery day, right? They're just like the 6A boys and the 6A girls from Friday to Saturday. They got to turn right back around and play in a final. Where do you think they're at as they get ready for to try to make history and win their third straight state title?
I think they're in good shape because their game didn't go into extra time. I think usually when teams go to play extra time, you got to play the next day. It does take a toll on you physically too. And also, I think they came out healthy out of this. I think knowing that going to this game, this was going to be like a challenging game. I think Lumberton probably had a game plan that was going to try to, kind of stifle them a bit, which you did see in that first half. So I'm sure they're feeling good now, but now moving on to this game, I'm sure they're going to be focused and ready to go. And you saw what they did last year. They absolutely destroyed Stephenville. I mean, they picked them apart. So are they saving the best for last for this coming game? We'll see, on tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. Coach?
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with Rafa. I think it was like a light reality check. I mean, not that they necessarily needed one, but it was just like a, hey, job half finished. You know what I mean? We still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Both games are going to be hard. When we play Lumberton, and then now when we play Bernie Girls, a very athletic Bernie Girls team, job half finished. We still got a lot of work to do. We're then by no means in the clear. And I think that they kind of know. I think Salina kind of knows, like, hey, our past 2 years, we were at the peak of girls soccer. We were incredible. We were in special. And we're kind of coming back down off that. We're rebuilding with some younger girls. They have a really talented freshman girl that plays wing, that she's a freshman, but she's really good. And they're kind of a lot younger. They don't have a lot of seniors. And so I think they kind of know, and they're kind of more just like, hey, let's just be smart. Let's just do what we do great, and let's just try to see how it wins. And so, I think like Rafa said, it's just a little bit of a reality check. And then it also helps that you have that time to rest. They're the earlier game. It didn't go into OT. It wasn't super strenuous. It wasn't like a high intensity match. So I think that they come out of that and they feel really comfortable and ready to go play that final. So
thoughts on Lumberton Lady Raiders, Coach? You got to see them for a full 80 minutes. Thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, respect to, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but respect to their coach. I think he did a really good job of playing versus a really hard competition. I mean, there's people even in the stands like, man, Salina, those guys are just machines, And especially on the girls' side, they really are, man. They got a lot of talent. They're very efficient at what they do. They're structurally sound. They're very tactically organized. And they're just hard to beat. And Lumberton had some really quality chances in the game. It wasn't like, we're sitting talking about, like Rafa said, 9-1 to Stephenville. No, like it was very even for a large portion of the game, and Lumberton did a really fantastic job. So hats off to those guys, and they did a really good job.
Yeah. Yeah, we know what they've built, what their coaches built there, what they've built there. We're going to see them again. We know that already. So congratulations to Lumberton on a great season, and congratulations to Salina, who advances to tomorrow's state final, 4A girls state final for the third consecutive year as they look to win their third consecutive state title. And that will we'll shift and we'll segue over to game two of the day, which was Bernie versus Salado. Ended 2-1 in overtime. And, I guess that's the initial question that we'll build to, right? But those extra 20 minutes in overtime, how critical, there's 20 minutes, but then there's a hard 20 minutes at the end of an already grueling 80 minutes, right? So what was your initial thoughts on this one, Coach?
Exactly what you said right there. Like, you had to play that extra 20 minutes. And like you said, sometimes, 20 minutes isn't really a big deal, but it's what 20 minutes does to you up here that makes it such a big deal. Like mentally, you're spent when you come out of that 100 minutes. And then now it's like, hey, girls, we play in 24 hours. Like, you better lock in and get ready for another game. You know, that's what's hard mentally to lock in for that long and then be exhausted and then re-lock back in 24 hours. Like, that is the toll. Initially, right after they won that game, I was like, hey, Salina's feeling really good right now. You know, somebody goes into OT, has to do a lot of work. Salina's feeling really good on the other side, chilling, waiting to see this game play out. And one of those same things, too, just like in the first game where it was just a really back and forth game, a really incredible job by both groups. I thought Salado was really talented. Salado had a really strong forward up top, number 10, that did incredible work all game, great energy, pressure on the ball, fantastic. And then Bernie's a lot like their boys, just physically strong, physically talented, really good at moving the ball. They're not going to give you anything. They're strong defensively, and they just grind out wins, kind of like their boys do.
Yeah. Rafa, thoughts?
Yeah, with Salado, you know, they've been kind of been knocking at the door, I think, the last couple of years, especially kind of, I don't say playing second fiddle to Stephenville, which, you know, like I said, they got getting knocked off, and then they beat that really talented Life Walks a Hatchie team. I'm sure they were feeling good on this one. Say, hey, you know, the record speaks for itself. You know, they've had an excellent year, and right. They probably thought, okay, we have a good chance to maybe get to that next step and maybe be the one that challenges, you know, Salina, you know, for the title game. But, you know, what you can say also about Bernie, like I said, they've been grinding it out the last couple of years. They had a grind out game in that regional final in PKs, and they're mentally tough and, you know, physical, athletic. And I think they know their objective going into this is that they still have, in order to get to Salina, they had to take care of business in this game. You know, they could look forward to it. And I think in the show today too, like I said, they really kind of grinded it out with Salado and able to get that win.
Yeah. You know, the interesting piece about this match, so this brings us back, Rafa, you can recall a year ago, we thought that this would have been based upon the pairings, right? That this would line up to where this would have been the final, right? Salina and Bernie. So, and instead they ended up facing each other in the semifinal, right? Mm-hmm. And which ultimately, right, ended up proving to what was really the best match of the three 4A matches on the girls' side. Mm-hmm. The interesting piece this year, when you look at it, is it's a bit kind of, and you know, Alexi alluded to it earlier, is the roles are almost a little reversed this year, right? So line, it's Bernie's now a little older. They bring back, I think, 8 starters from last year's squad, right? They're a little bit more experienced. Obviously, they recall that memory from a year ago versus Salina in the state semifinal. And yeah, I mean, Salina still obviously brings back a lot of talent, don't get me wrong. But as Alexi also mentioned, they're a little bit younger this year, right? A little bit younger doesn't mean they're less talented, just younger. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of the roles are a little bit reversed from where they were a year ago from that perspective. So I'm kind of curious how some of this will line up matchup wise, because when we look at it, and we'll get into it a little bit more later, but when we look at this at the end, but this is going to be an interesting matchup just from the two. You look at it from defensively, very organized, very strong, solid, disciplined defenses. Great goalkeepers in Kinsley Sawyer and Caitlin Gustafson as well, who just have, I mean, Kinsley Sawyer, she's just, you know, she's what now I believe a junior, and she's just used to this, right? As a freshman, I remember she was making dynamite saves for Bernie, having great games. If I recall her freshman year, I think she set the single game record for saves in a match there, a 4A match there, I think with, I don't know, it was 14, 16, or I don't know if I'm also thinking of Tim Howard there, but somewhere in there, but it was up there. It was up there. So, yeah, how that is going to break down, very excited. I think we'll get into the matchup a little bit more, and we'll get into it. We'll cover that. Will be the last thing we do. All right. So next one that brings us, we go switch over to game 3 and game 3 of the day of our championship week, day 1, boys semifinal number 1, Bernie and Kilgore final score, Bernie 1, Kilgore 0. Initial thoughts on this one, coach.
Ooh, I mean, this one was weird, man. Like, it was a weird game. You know, it was where the win really started to affect matches. You know, I feel like in the girls' games, yes, it was prevalent. but it wasn't like a massive big deal. The wind really started to pick up in that game. And in that game, I mean, Bernie, the goal that Bernie scores, you know, I don't know if you've seen it, you've clipped it or anything, but dude's at the like 50-yard line. Like, legitimately.
Officially, I think it was a 57-yard strike.
He's hitting it from like the 48, 49-yard line, the defensive side, and just pings it. And it just lasers, drives, and the wind takes it and just glides it all the way. And it just keeper kind of takes two steps because he's trying to try to read it. And then he's like, oh, dang. Like, you know, and he's taking two steps back like a minute later. And it just flies in the goal. And I mean, it's just one of those things where you have the win, just put it on target and let's go get after it. Mm-hmm. You know, even if he does make a save, like we can crash it, we can get after it, we can go get the second chance. But there was no second chance on that one. It was a laser. Like, I was like, dang, you know, like it was nice. So that was really when the wind started affecting the game. And a massive, massive, massive respect to Coach Strong, because they just do such a good job. You know, they were back-to-back champions, kind of took a lull year last year, but they're and back again. And they just do such a good job of seeing out games. They're just so sound structurally. They're so strong in how they tackle and how they make defensive plays. Like, they're just so quality at seeing out games. Like, that was my biggest takeover from the game. Like, you know, looking at the game and watching the game, you know, my assistant was like, oh, you know, they're not anything special. They're not very good, you know. Da, 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 da. And I was like, dude, but you're missing what they're great at. Like, they're just so sound defensively. They're so organized. Like, if they're going to win every game 1-0, then they're going to win every game 1-0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a strength.
Right.
And people, you know, you don't have to be flashy and flary and all that.
Correct. Like,
that's a strength. That's a strength that you're winning every game 1-0. Congratulations. You know what I mean? So they were beautiful. And we're massive respect to Coach Strong and how they defend, how they play the game, how they see out games. It was really good.
Yeah. I think the beauty of that and what Coach Strong has built there, so much of it is at a certain point, you know, when we talk about culture and part of what you're talking about there, Coach, that's where it shows up, right? Mm-hmm. Is they're just so the big thing in the number of times I've seen them play, right? Is that they're consistent, they're disciplined, mm-hmm. and they don't beat themselves, right? There's like, if you're going to have to earn it, you're going to have to take it from them because they're just, you know, they're opportunistic and they just really don't beat themselves. So, Rafa, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I know Coach Strong mentioned about when we talked to him the last time, you know, this was going to be a very difficult game because knowing Kilgore's kind of had been, like I said, knocking the door the last few years because of Palestine kind of running the roost. And like I said, he was kind of concerned of them being very, you know, them being very athletic. But like I said, you fight with Coach Strong and Bernie. We've known in the last few years they find ways to win, and they and like I said, those 1-0 gains do mean a lot. It's not going to be flashy like we saw them play earlier in the year at the Alamo Heights tournament. They beat a really good Waxahachie team. You know, it wasn't pretty. It was just a grind out game. They took care of business. They were organized and they did what they had to do. And then what can you say about that goal? I mean, just a placement. It reminds me actually of a former player of mine, Luis Arias. He actually scored a similar goal like that against Clark, my first year coaching. Just lasered it, and goalkeeper had like no chance. And I'm sure that's one that should be on maybe hopefully on the ESPN too, on the highlights for that for a goal from that distance. But the thing is, you know, I'm sure Kilgore is kind of look back this, you know, we had our opportunities and stuff and maybe they weren't able to execute their game plan to kind of figure out how to kind of break the code with Bernie. But like I said, this team's is an experienced team. This is the third year, three out of the last 4 years that it's been to the state tournament. So they know what it takes, what's it about, you know, the routine and so forth. And like I said, now they're in their third final in three out of the 4 years. And it's like I said, I think they're probably going to be the favorite going into this game.
Yeah. Brilliant by Rafa with the tribute to Kilgore, because I think that they were fantastic as well. I don't think that maybe they had their best game in this moment, but to get out of, I mean, everybody knows to get out of the region two and to get out of the Dallas region, Dallas East, Texas, whatever you want to call it, is brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, they upset Jacksonville in the third round. That was a massive game. They took care of business in the fourth round versus Wilmer Hutchins. That was kind of a Cinderella. And then they took care of Panther Creek, who's kind of an up-and-coming riser, right. doing a right. really good job. And Coach Parales at Kilgore is in his first year. He's been an assistant there forever. And then a coach retired, and he took over. And to go in your first year to the state tournament is absolutely incredible. So massive respects to him. And they were a very organized team. With one of their players is going D1 to Liberty. It was up in the Northeast, like massive program. So they have a lot of talent. They had a really big senior class, and they did a fantastic job. Coach Parales did a fantastic job, like with that group.
Yeah. Yeah. So congratulations to Kilgore and Salado, Salado girls soccer as well, on great seasons. And Bernie advances. They will advance to Fridays, right? They get a day in between Fridays. They advance to Friday's 4A boys state final, which we will actually preview tomorrow, right? We'll preview that one tomorrow. And then that takes us to our final match of the day. I think what kind of proved to be, right, the barn burner, if you can have a barn burner at 0-0, right? It was, in my opinion, the match of the day. After watching everything, following up, watching clips, doing my research, talking with probably about, no exaggeration, probably about 30 to 35 coaches around the state today while I was at a track meet and getting yelled at. Our final semifinal of the day, which was boys number two semifinal, San Elizario versus Navasota. San Eli, out of the greater El Paso area, wins it in controversial fashion, if you will, right? It was the right call. I don't think there's any controversy about that, the right call. But they win it on a penalty awarded, and they still execute it. You still have to execute it. I think people oftentimes think that you're given a penalty and it's an automatic point, right? You still have to execute that. But yeah, shout out to, you know, Navasota goalkeeper who kept them in this match, played an unbelievable game. Mm-hmm. So brutal to receive that yellow card, have to come out. And then, of course, Sanelli capitalizes on that penalty, all with 2 minutes left in the second extra time period, right? We're literally 2 minutes and 7 seconds away from going to penalties. And Sanelli pulls it out 1-0. And I mean, all respects to a Navasota squad that gave a very established 4A program in San Eli all that they could handle. Thoughts on this one, Coach?
I am a very pro Dallas supporter. I always am. And part of being a pro Dallas supporter is that you're typically a Houston not supporter. I massive respects to Coach Brian Lopez. You know, that was their third loss for Navasota. He's a younger guy. You know, I talked to some Houston people, and I think he's only in his second or third year. And what a way to get in your second, third year and get into this game and play, and honestly play better than San Elizario. I thought they played a lot better than San Elizario. And like you said, the keeper stood on his head. They were sound as a team. They moved the ball really well. They played with incredible energy, hustle, heart, all that. And they did fantastic. And I'm a super big component of, if you just don't need to call it. Like, I just don't, as a ref, like, just let the game play. Like I agree. It's a like a punch kind of hit, you know, to try to get the ball, and you got no ball and you hit him. Like, a foul is a foul. Like, I agree 100%, but it's just, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just, you know, it's a 50-50 challenge. It really is. Cause I'm going in my head and you're going with two hands. Like, it's hard. You know, it's one of those things where, like, you just want to kind of let the ref say, like, hey, no, I'm not going to call that there. We were 50-50. Let's play. You know what I mean? Like, because it's hard, you know, like, you know, it sucks that you ruin those kids' year off of a call. And granted, it's the right call, like you said, but it's just like, man, that's so devastating. And they play fantastic. Massive respect to their kids, massive respect to their coach Brian Lopez. Like, really good group.
Yeah. Rafa, thoughts on this one?
What can say about Navasota? Like I said, for a program that really, like I said, for 4A and then Region 3 is kind of flown under the radar. Mm-hmm. And for them to, like I said, this was like a, I guess you can say, a magical season for them. And, you know, maybe this is the best to come from them. You know, they've really established themselves, and they set the bar high for them now. And, you know, can for here on out, can they be that dominant team in, you know, in Region 3? But, you know, hats off to those kids. You know, it was something special for them. They had to beat some really good established teams to get here. And that just shows that program is heading, is being led into the right direction. And, you have to be proud of what, you know, the kids have to be proud of what they've accomplished, and hopefully keep that hunger too. Like I said, say, hey, we set the tone for the undergraduates. Look, we've established this for you. Now, can you take this beyond, you know, can you do what Bernie does or what San Ellie's done in the past, Palestine, you know, all those teams, you know, that's something that, you know, hopefully the underclassmen learn from that. But, you know, hats off to them. You know, it's a shame to lose a game like that, because I've lost a game like that, like in the late PK like that. Mm-hmm. And then you want them to play, you know, but, you know, it was the right call. But, you know, and who's to say, you know, what could have happened if they do go to PKs, you know, maybe the result be a little bit different. And, but, you know, hats off to Navasota. But like I said, San Ellie's back in the final, and it's going to be a heck of a final on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the interesting piece with Navasota too is I had, there was a particular coach, one of our sources out of East Texas. This was back when Navasota was still wrapping up the district race, right? When we were still in district play, one of the coaches told me, just a direct quote, was Navasota is the truth, right? And so to see, and then here they are, right? Here they are, you know, going toe to toe with a 4A power in San Ellie. Pretty amazing. So congratulations to them. Hats off to them.
They absolutely
and
then were.
Now, you know, what's that?
I said, no, they absolutely were. Okay. Like the truth, you know, talking about the truth. They really were. They played fantastic. I think, you know, my system was like, I think that was the most well-rounded team all day. And I was like, man, I that's a bold claim. And I really do think they were. Like, they played fantastic. They were phenomenal. I thought they were a really good group. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so now this, and you can make that argument, right? Because I think in this match between San Ellie and Navasota, part of the, you know, Navasota's goalkeeper kept them in the match. San Ellie had the significant shot and shot on goal advantage. But also, I think the other part of the story was the number of offsides, right, that were called on Navasota, right? I think it was in the double digits, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was the last one that I heard was 11. I don't know if it ended in 11, and I don't know if that was official, but that was the last one that I had heard. How much, I guess that's the question, right? When you assess that and you got to see it in person, Coach, how much of that did it start to take its toll on Navasota in terms of frustration in the match?
Oh, 100%, especially like in the fan base, I would say is probably where that like frustration hits. You know, you feel wrongly done, you know, by an officiating crew when you got, you know, 10 to 12 offside calls and then you get a PK on you with 2 minutes left in the game. You know, you feel a little wrongly done, you know, for sure. But it was a lot, you know, I mean, they were playing balls into the mix and, you know, it's just such a tight split decision on a lot of them. You know, I bet you out of those like 12 that like, eight or like just like instantaneous split decisions, you know, and they were just really hard. And it just, you know, I mean, that guy's, you know, it's hard, you know, offsides is one of those things that he's right there. You know what I mean? Like he's seeing something, you know what I mean? It's not just blatant, like, oh, you know, he's good by 10 yards. How are you calling that ref? You know, like, no, like he's there. He's seeing something that he thinks is offside. Like it's probably offsides. 9 times out of 10, it's offsides. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, but I mean, it took that toll because, you know, the kids, they started to build a little more instead of play, you know, so vertical because it was like, well, offside, 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 offside. And I don't know if that was like a subconscious thing, but it was like, hey, let's try to, you know, build through a little more rather than, you know, play that ball, you know, or play that over the top or play that through direct ball. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe that was an effect, you know, you never really know, but yeah, it was a lot. I mean, there was a lot of people, you know, even neutrals that were on that side or coaches or whatever, were just like, oh my God, another one. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, it was a definite effect on the game.
Right. And, you know, one of the things too, you can make the argument from both Bernie and San Elisario is that the one thing you noticed in that match from Sanelli was that the opposing goalkeeper was having a great match, right? Phenomenal match. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of kept going, right? They just kind of kept trying to strike, you know, trying to put shots on goal. They didn't stop. And that's kind of one of those things where they have that experience. They have that pedigree. They've been there. So kind of some of the same things similar in Burnley, where that mm-hmm. culture, this is where that culture piece kind of starts to rear its head, right? The belief, right? The, hey, we've been here before. We mm-hmm. figured this out. We're going to find a way. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe some of the other teams that haven't been there before or haven't been there in a while, they have to try to work through that, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's the hard part of experience, right? Is there's no replacement. There's no substitute for experience, right? Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
100%.
Yeah, but yeah, that brings
with Burnley, it's more tactically, and you know, we're going to be sound defensively, we're going to be structurally, we're going to be organized and all that. And they have experience in doing that. And it's, hey guys, let's ride this because we do it so well, and when everybody buys into it, and then you know, go into that culture piece. And then for San Lazaro, it's like, hey, let's attack in waves, let's keep going, let's keep going, let's keep pushing because we're going to get our goal. And that's how they've always been too for them as well. You know, I mean, you see, right. San Lazaro teams at one state a couple years ago. It was the same way with those guys. You know, they're just going to attack you and wave and wave and wave and wave. And you're going to get broken down eventually. You know what I mean? And so, you know, yeah, like you said, I mean, you just can't replace experience. And it's like a catch 22 because in order to get experience, you got to win big games. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's really hard. It's not anything that there's no secret formula to doing it. So
right. Yeah, right.
Building that
right.
culture.
Yeah. So, and that will bring us to what I'm hoping is the dream final there, right? Between Burnley and Sanelli. I mean, two massive 4A heavyweights. You know, we recently just had Coach Strong on our last episode of Inside Texas High School Soccer. And one of the things that we talked about was how the story was shaping with this being Burnley's last year in 4A. I'm sure everybody else in 4A is happy about that, right? But their last year in 4A, they want to see it out. And with, you know, with a state title, Sanelli would love nothing more than to, you know, add another trophy to that trophy case as well. So this is, I think, this is a legit big time final. I'm hoping we see something that rivals the Salina versus Midlothian Heritage girls match mm-hmm. of 2 years ago, right? Which was just one for the ages. So we'll see. Looking forward to that. Again, we will preview that one on tomorrow's show since that one is not slated till to take place until Friday. So, all right, that's going to do it. We're going to take a look at day two shortly, but before we do that, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a quick word from our partners. Looking to step up your social media marketing game? Well, let us tell you about our great friends at Gipper. Gipper is a way that schools, athletic departments, ADs, and coaches create world-class marketing content. Join over 4,000 coaches, ADs, SIDs, and club directors who use Gipper to create high-quality visual branded graphics for your program. The best part? Anyone can do it in seconds on any device without needing any design experience whatsoever. If you do have significant design experience, you're going to love this as well, as you are what they call the power user, and this is designed with you in mind as well. And just for being a listener and supporter of the 50/50 podcast, you can receive savings immediately and save 10% off any first-time Gipper purchase. Simply visit gipper.com/partner/5050 to learn more. Again, that's gipper.com/partner/5050. And then there are our great friends at Global Scarves, both Bill and Kyle. They are the top providers of custom knitted scarves, beanies, and other fan merchandise in the U.S. All merch is fully custom with free design services and free shipping on all orders. They do so much more, guys, than just scarves. Blankets, beanies, you name it, it's all designed and all customized to your specifications and needs. You can contact them at info@globalscarves.com to get any free designs or quotes built out for your school, club, or maybe even a supporters group. Simply mention the podcast or use the code #5050pod and they will be sure to take care of you. Right, and we are back, episode 8 of Inside Texas High School Soccer. I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Don't Call Me Hollywood, Rafa Castorena, as well as the head men's soccer coach of Sulphur Springs, Coach Alexi Upton. All right, guys, let's dive in. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a look now at tomorrow's schedule. And I know, Coach, you're going to be attending all of these. You'll be there at in place. What, 9 a.m. What time are you going to? What time are you planning on arriving there?
Yeah, somewhere in that range. Maybe not bright. Not maybe not right at 9:30, but maybe, you know, 10:30, somewhere in that range. But
yeah. So we got. So we're going to take a look at these here. So we're going to start off. We'll cover the girls here first. So 9:30 a.m. 5A girls semifinal number one. All right, between Colleyville Heritage, a team that has just been so consistent this year, right? Versus Pflugerville Hendrickson, a team that has kind of surprised a few people along the way. And that's slated for 9:30 a.m. at noon, approximately noontime. Of course, we all know the only one that for sure will start on time will be the first one. At approximately 12 p.m., 5A girls semifinal number two between Frisco Wakeland and Leander Rouse. Then somewhere in there in between, we will go ahead and we'll have the 4A girls final somewhere at approximately 2:30 or 20 to 30 minutes after 5A girls semifinal number two. Let's take a look at these first two. Rafa, what are your thoughts on these? I know we've discussed these before, but any changes, anything that you're looking forward to in the Colleyville Heritage, Pflugerville Hendrickson?
What do you can say about Colleyville Heritage? Like they're one of the staples, like I said, for 5A girls soccer the last few years. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. They're a clear-cut favorite in this game, but they do need to be aware that, you know, Pflugerville Hendrickson is going to bring their A game. Like I said, they knocked off a very talented Georgetown team last week. So this is – they're not going to – like I said, Hendrickson's not going to roll over. They're well-coached. So this is going to be a very competitive game. And then the second game, like I said, with Wakeland, I guess this is the female version of the Kukui on this for them against Rouse. Rouse has their hands full, you know, but Rouse is, like I said, they've got some big wins the last few weeks, but they do have their hands full with this Frisco Wakeland team.
Coach?
Ooh, Metroplex Austin and Metroplex Austin. It can't get much better than that, baby. Like that's what we wake up in the morning for, baby. Like, let's see who's better. Like that's what we wake up in the morning for. You know, big DFW advocate right here. I mean, I just, in all seriousness, I don't watch a lot of Austin area. I really don't. You know, I keep up with a lot of Houston and East Texas because they kind of blend together, and then obviously Dallas because you know that's where I'm from. So I can't speak for Hendrickson or Rouse, but I mean, I can speak for Colleyville Heritage and Wakeland. And Wakeland girls are phenomenally tactically sound, so dominant. I mean, just some of the people that are in that area and talk about them and how they play, they're just like, oh, these girls are incredible. And they kind of, it's kind of one of those things too with like a Bernie where they kind of, they've been dominant in the past. They kind of took a little bit of a lull for a little bit. And now they've kind of came back again with some strength. Mm-hmm. And they're going to just be really, really, really hard game for Leander Rouse.
Yeah. Yeah, these are going to be some great matches, I think. Slight edge, in my opinion, here is slight edge. Colleyville Heritage, and then, of course, Frisco Wakeland. Both Pflugerville Hendrickson, Leander Rouse do have their hands full here, but I think this is a Leander Rouse squad that I think everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of people thought we'd be talking about Leander here rather than Rouse. So for them to the third time facing a district opponent in the regional final, and they handed them a pretty sound defeat in 3-0. Now they shift and they have to see a different animal in Frisco Wakeland, right? How will they respond? Colleyville Heritage, I mean, there's a reason why they have no losses on the season. They've just been so solid all year, so consistent. They've been routinely, and I know Rafa's RPI, top five RPI pretty much all year, kind of floating in there. And so, yeah, very excited to see these matches as well. Then, of course, our 4A girls final, which will take place at 2:30. We will discuss that last. And then we shift over to our boys semifinals. Started at approximately 5 p.m., 5A boys semifinal number one, Leander Glenn, a team that Rafa has been very big on, right? Very big on from the start of the year versus my guys, El Cucuy themselves, right? Frisco Wakeland, who is back once again. You know, do not look at that record, people. I cannot say enough. Mm-hmm. Do not look at that record, right? And then the nightcap, approximately 7 p.m., 5A boys semifinal number two between Midlothian, who couldn't break through last year, falling to El Paso Bel Air in the regional final, breaks through this year, and here they are versus Baytown Goose Creek Memorial. And some people would say it's like, oh, wow, huh? Goose Creek Memorial. But, yeah, they're for real. They've earned this spot, and these are going to be some great matches. Thoughts on these two boys?
Yeah, that first game, I'm sure Leander Glenn's not happy with that matchup because, I mean, you've seen what Frisco Wakeland's done. Like I said, they've earned that nickname, the Cocoy, for a reason. You know, they've been the state tournaments of almost a lot, pretty much the last decade.
Can somebody update me on the Cocoy thing? Can somebody update me on
okay, so, all right. Man, so clearly you have not been listening to episodes here, Coach.
No, I do, but I'm like, did I miss something?
No, so I don't know where it started. Even Rafa might have to remind me, but somewhere in there, going back to, we're just having a conversation on, I don't know if it was RPI. I don't know if it was, I think this goes back to last year's bracketology. Playoff. Yeah, bracketology maybe, but somewhere in there, I just put them, it's like, you know, I can't tell you the number of times I picked against Wakeland and they just proved me wrong and I got tired of it. And they're like, you know, they're like the Jason, right? The Freddy Krueger. They just do not
the boogeyman.
They do not die. El Cucuy, the boogeyman, right? They're just, ones you do not want to see on your bracket because they're just so tough, so resilient, so well coached, and they play so well, well disciplined and just tactically. And the record speaks for itself. This is what their seventh time in 8 years, I think, that they're here. Seven and eight. And this is a year that I'm not going to say they're supposed to be down, but they weren't expect a lot of people weren't very big on them. Mm-hmm. And boom, look where they are. Here they are once again. And they travel so well. They got strong, strong fan base as well. And like Rafa said, they're just Leander Glenn is. I guess supposed to be the top overall seed here, and great, they get to state, and their prize is Frisco Wakeland. no who wants to see that, right? But let's not undersell Leander Glenn. Leander Glenn belongs here. They've earned this spot, 29-0-1, and I think this is going to give us a dynamite matchup. But all of that to say, all of these things are what kind of led to me affectionately calling Wakeland El Cucuy. So go ahead, Coach.
Then I'm never going to bet on Cucuy. I mean, again, 100%. I'm never going to bet against the Wakeland. They're so, like you said, they're so tactically sound. And, going back to even more of what you said, massive respect to Leander. But they're 29-0-1. Like, that does not happen. People don't go 29-0-1. So massive respect to those people. I know we're talking a lot about Wakeland, but 29-0-1 is a massive respect. They deserve all the praise in the world and all the respect in the world.
Yeah, that's not by accident.
That's not by accident. That's a massive record and a massive respect. But at the same time, like Coach Andy Holt at Wakeland, they're just so sound. They're so good. They play with a real purpose and pressure and intensity to how they play the game. Like, it's almost kind of like a Katie Seven Lakes of just a strong dominance. And they're just really good, man. And so, I mean, if Leander Glenn wins that game, a massive respect to you guys, but I would never go against Wakeland. So, and then I think the second game is going to be incredibly good as well, too. Midlothian and Coach Austin Guess, they're a fantastic group that's kind of been in and out of the high status. They've been to some regional tournaments and things like that. Really good group as they've transitioned around 5A and different districts and things like that. And then Baytown always is kind of a area that has some really solid programs. To see Goose Creek Memorial is cool. And I think that they're going to give – I think that's going to be a very even game that's also going to be a nightcap, kind of like Navasota was tonight, where it's like, maybe there is a favorite in Midlothian, a lot like San Elizario. But, the Houston school – comes out and plays really well and has a really incredible game and just gives a lot of heart and energy like Navasota did. And so I think that's going to be a really great game as well.
So from the top down, minus the 4A girls final, which we'll discuss last, predictions, score lines and predictions. Rafa, what do you got?
Yeah, you got to give the edge to Colville Heritage. I mean, what they've done the last few years, I think they're very well-disciplined, focused, talented team. But they can't look, like I said, they can't look past Hendrickson. I think one little slip up, like I said, Hendrickson can surprise them, but you got to give the edge to Heritage. And then Frisco Wakeland versus the other
score on that one.
I'll give that one maybe a 3-1. I think 3-1 be a respectable, you know, score for that one. And then the second game, like with Wakeland and Rouse, what you've seen with Wakeland, I don't know if Leander Rouse has seen a team like this all season. I know they've beaten some good teams. They beat, you know, really good, you know, Leander team, and, you know, just kind of, you know, rousing through their, you know, kind of their schedule.
Rousing, you know, I see what you did there.
Yeah, rousing through their schedule. You know, they haven't, you know, seen a team with this high of caliber. And I know, like I said, the Dallas area teams have been the dominant teams the last few years. Are they prepared to see a different this type of level of play that, you know, they're not used to? And now I'm gonna give, I think Wakeland wins this one. I think this one goes 4-1.
Oh, put 4 on, huh? Okay. Coach, what about you? These first two, what do you got?
I really see the Collingwood Heritage one being maybe a tad bit closer. I think 3-1 is a fair score line. I'm going to say 2-1 Collegeville Heritage. I think that will be a pretty even game. Typically, when we see a Pflugerville school like a Pflugerville Henderson, they're very athletic girls. So I think that being very athletic means that you can match Collegeville Heritage really well, and I think it will be an even game. But I think just the quality of Collegeville Heritage will come out at some point, and then they'll end up winning it. Second game for Wakeland, I mean, I got to agree with Rafa. I think it may get kind of ugly. And, you know, that's no disrespect to Leander Rouse. But like you said, you know, some of the Houston area schools or some of the Austin area schools, when they run into people like a Wakeland or a Allen or, you know, whatever the case, South Lake Carroll girls, you know what I mean? They haven't really seen anything like that playing the people that they play on a week-to-week basis. And then when you go and play them, you're like, wow, you know, they're incredible. And I think Wakeland really is that this year. A lot of people have talked very highly of praise on them. And, I mean, I could see this being maybe 4-0, 3-0, 4-0 Wakeland. Wow. So,
yeah. Okay. And then our two night matches as we shift over to the boys' predictions and score lines. Rafa, what do you got?
Leander Glenn, like I said, great season. But like I said, you're playing the boogeyman. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Wakeland's has been to the state tournament the last 9 out of the last 14 years. That's an accomplishment. And this is Leander Glenn's first year. And it goes back to the same situation with Leander Rouse. Leander Glenn has not played a team or seen the game speed of this type of team. Yes, they did well in the Valley. They played some great Valley teams. You know, they took care of business here in Region 4, but they have not seen a team like this. They're like a well-built oil machine, mm-hmm. and they will go after you. But if Glenn could pull this off, this would probably be their signature win for their program. If they can win this one and get to the final, but I'm gonna give the edge this one to Wakeland. They're in a tougher district, they're a tougher region, they're battle tested, and I think they end up winning this one. It'll be close, but I think this will be a 3-2 win for Wakeland.
Yeah, you know, the interesting piece on that one too with Glenn and Wakeland, I think if there was a year where you're going to maybe get Wakeland, maybe this is it, right? So, and that's not my prediction, but I'm just saying if there was a year, maybe this is it. And this is just a very strong Glenn team as well. So the matchups, right? What will the matchups look like in the first 10 to 15 minutes, right? What will become obvious? What will become evident? That's what we'll have to look for. So, and then semifinal number two, Coach Rafa, sorry.
Yeah, so two. Like I said, you got your Dallas versus Houston matchup. I think Midlothian just a little more. Great season for Goose Creek Memorial. Like I said, you know, that Region 3 is really tough there for 5A. You know, they had to beat some really good teams to get through here. But I think Midlothian just has a little bit more. And I think this one was probably going to be like a 3-1 win for Midlothian.
Coach, thoughts on 5A boys semifinal 1 and 2?
These were hard, man. I mean, you know, I think 4A boys, 4A girls, there were some clear favorites. As we get into the 5A girls, there's some pretty evident favorites. And it's not, you know, just because I'm a Dallas person, you know, I really think that they're a stronger, more quality team. And, you know, no disrespects to Henderson or Rouse, but I agree with Rafa. You know what I mean? Like, Leander Glenn, like, to win 29 games and to play quality like they have and just be as strong as they've been, like, I'm going to make a bold prediction, and maybe this is an OT game. You know, I'm going to make a bold prediction and say maybe Wakeland wins, like, you know, 3-2. But maybe this is one of those things where it's 1-1 and Wakeland kind of finds a way towards the end of the game to win this. I mean, I think Leander Glenn can give them a game based off how people talk about them and how quality they are. But then, like you said, it's just, you don't bet against the boogeyman. You know what I mean? Like, you, man. Just can't bet against Wakeland. It's just so hard to bet against them. You're never going to, like, I'm not putting my house on going to Wakeland. I'm not. Like, you know what I mean? It's just so hard to say no to them. You know what I mean? So they're a quality program. I'd probably say 3-2. And then maybe this is a game that we, you know, we see an overtime in this game where, you know, it goes in overtime. It's a very well contested game. I really hope that for Leander Glenn and that they can go compete in this game. Mm-hmm. And then in the second one in Midlothian, I just think that they're just quality. They play with a fastness to them and like a really high energy to them. But I can't speak for Baytown Goose Creek Memorial. I can't speak for them because I don't know a lot about them. I would say that this is probably a 2-1. Oh, Ken Murphy, this guy that commented right here just read my mind. I'd probably say this is probably a
2-1. Don't take his score line, man. Don't take his score
line. I know. He messaged it right as it was coming out of my lips. Like, yeah. I think that's an excellent prediction. I think 2-1 is it. I think it's going to be contested as well. I think it's, you know, typically the 5A boys matchups are very well contested. You know, if you can go back and look at the past 4, 5, 6 state championships, and they're typically games that are decided relatively close. You know, you don't ever see like, oh wow, you know, they blew them out 4-0. You know, I mean, that just doesn't happen at the 5A boys level. And so I think they're going to be two very excellent games.
Yeah. Awesome. So scoreline on that one, you're going to go with 2-1 as well.
I think the guy in the comments nailed it. I think 2-1 is a great scoreline. So,
man, you're great. Yeah. Thanks. Shout out to Ken Murphy for joining us. One of our most just loyal supporters and listeners. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate you. Steve-O joins us as well with some great games today. I know he was watching it. He was following it closely. So thanks. Big shout out to him as well. So, all right. That's going to do it as we look ahead at tomorrow at day two, with the exception of our final, what will be our middle match, but it will be the final girls 4A match of the season as we crown our first state champion tomorrow. We will start crowning state champions in the next 3 days, starting with tomorrow, and two just heavyweights, right? Where 4A is going to give us a pair of heavyweight state title matchups, and it will be in two-time defending state champion Salina versus a team that's making their third consecutive trip to Georgetown, who's, you know, in their own right. Coach Shannon has just built a phenomenal, you know, phenomenal machine there in the Burning Lady Greyhounds as well. And this is slated 4A girls final, slated for tomorrow, Thursday, April 11th at approximately 2:30 p.m. And this is essentially between the 5A girls and the 5A boys semifinals. Gentlemen, thoughts on this one? Let's start with you, Rafa.
This is going to be a barn burner of a game because you got two teams that, like I said, this was probably like more like the best game out of last year's tournament. When you look at both at the rosters, now both teams are lacking senior leadership. Like I said, Salina only has, I think, 4 seniors. Burning May, I think 3 or 4, kind of about the equal. So they're still both young teams. I think here's who is able to dictate their style of play and also establish themselves and get a lead. And for Bernie, did they learn from what the mistakes they made last year? Because I think they had Salina on the ropes. You know, it was very important, and they had him for a while, and then when Salina scored, things fell apart there. And I believe this game could end up going to overtime and possibly penalty kicks. I'm going to give the edge to Salina. This is going to be close. I can see maybe
a 1-0. Is everybody just taking Ken Murphy's comments here? Is that what we're doing? What's going on? Ken, why don't you just jump on, man? I think you're giving all the analysis here. No, sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think this one could be like a 1-0 game because, like I said, there's not a lot of, like I said, senior leadership on both teams. And maybe some of those players, yeah, they've been there, but, you know, most of them weren't starters. And like I said, it's going to come down to a couple things. It's going to come down to coaching, too. I think coaching is going to be the key. Who can execute their game plan? And like I mentioned back with Bernie, did you learn something from last year that you can utilize and take advantage of this year? Because I think Salina is vulnerable. And if it's the time to dethrone them, it'd be this year. And Bernie has the team to do it. But I think this goes over time. I think Salina pulls out a squeaker. I think they win 1-0.
Coach?
I think Salina handles this game. You know, and I'm not going to be a Bernie hater or anything. You know, because I think that they played well and they're a lot like their boys where they're very tactically sound and they're strong and they're physical, especially for a girls team, very, very strong and physical and kind of almost like dominant physically, kind of like their boys are. But I just think Salina has a good bit more of quality than they do. And I think this might be like a 2-0 or 3-0 Salina. I think Salina will be kind of the same story like when they played Lumberton in this game as well, where they kind of just start building slowly into the game. Mm-hmm. And then some quality shows. They have some good shots on target, some really good chances, corners, free kicks, things like that. And they get a goal. And then, like you said, Rafa, you know, a young Bernie team, how does a young Bernie team react to being down 1-0?
No.
Do they push? Do they get after it? Or are they kind of rattled because they're in a state tournament and a state final and they don't really respond well? So I really think, you know, even if Salina is young, all these girls have consistently been a part of state tournaments. You know what I mean? So they've been there mentally and they know what to expect in those moments. And I think this could be 2 or 3-0 Salina.
Yeah. 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 I think from that perspective, I think that, you know, it's interesting too, because, you know, Ken Murphy mentioned it in here, right, in his comment, right, about this could be a Salina versus Midlothian Heritage. I know I just mentioned this on the boys' side, potentially between Bernie and Sanelli. So I feel that one of these 2-4A finals is going to hit on like epic status, whether it's mm-hmm. this one or the boys. But mm-hmm. I think we're in store for one classic at a minimum between these two. Of course, the 4A boys final will not take place until this exact time, approximately 2:30 p.m. on Friday, April 12th. So we will discuss that. We'll preview that on tomorrow's show. And again, if you're listening to us, you cannot see, but at the bottom there of our ticker, tomorrow's episode. If you're watching this, obviously you can see it at the bottom of our ticker, but tomorrow's episode scheduled slated for Thursday, April 11th, tomorrow again. Approximately 30. We try to target 30, no later than about 45 minutes after the final match. Today was a little different since I was doing admin duty and running, making it a point to try to get here as quickly as possible. So really looking forward to that. And a reminder, we will be coming to you live 30 to 45 minutes after each night, but tomorrow, obviously today, but tomorrow, Friday, and then we will not come on Saturday after the last match, but we will come to you Sunday afternoon, time to be determined. But Sunday afternoon, we'll take a look at Championship Saturday, all our four finals between the 5A and the 6A, boys and girls. And then we'll wrap up on it. Look, that'll be our season finale for this season of Inside Texas High School Soccer. It's been a blast. Rafa, can you believe this is already wrapping up season four, man? I think this we kind of stumbled into also by accident, but it was kind of demanded by the audience. It was requested by the, I should say requested, not demanded, but by the audience. And it's turned on, it's turned into like an absolutely special thing. What are your thoughts on just what it's become here as our spinoff series, Inside Texas High School Soccer, spinoff series of the 50-50 podcast? Thoughts on that, Rafa?
Yeah, you can see, you can tell, I guess it's a, you know, just the coverage is getting a lot better each year since the inception, you know, of Inside Texas Soccer. And, you know, it's just our just dues, you know, because in the past, you know, soccer, you know, Texas High School Soccer was just kind of treated as an afterthought. And now, you can say we have some of the most talented players in the U.S. You know, if you look at, like, for example, I'll give you, like, Kennedy Fuller. She's a perfect example there. She's playing
never pro.
And she's, she's playing, you know, so we, you know, you can tell that Texas is becoming a pipeline of a lot of soccer talent here, right, whether it's in the Metroplex, Houston, Dallas, the Valley, mm-hmm, West Texas. It's like I said, it's really taken off. And the, and like I said, the coverage now you have like Texas Sports Productions, Texan Live, NHS Network. Mm-hmm. So there's being more and more put on the spotlight, which is it's just dues too as well. And then also the hard work for, you know, for all the coaches of coach high school soccer, this is a reward for them that they've earned. And it's, you know, the spotlight should be on them because they do, like I said, like Coach Upton and I'm sure like Coach Strong and everyone else, the coaches high school soccer, it's about time that we got, you know, they got the respect, you know, and also the coverage for the players and so forth. So I'm excited, and it sucks it's going to end in a couple of days, but, you know, it's you know, it just gets better and better each year.
Yeah. Yeah. And a reminder as well, Steve Sanchez, our 50-50 podcast team member, will be there in attendance tomorrow at the state tournament. So I don't know, Coach Upton, maybe you guys can link up at some point there. You know, great mind for the game as well, Steve, and great statistician, right? So of the game. So yeah, maybe you guys can link up there. So Steve will be, you'll be our other beat reporter on there, and we look forward to hearing from you as well. Yeah. I agree. So much great stuff there. Thoughts on that as well? Anything you want to follow up with that, Coach Upton?
I mean, just like Rafa said, you know, but I want to take a step back and thank you guys from a coaching perspective. You know, the fact that you guys do what y'all do a week on week basis, you know, highlighting coaches, highlighting collegiate people, you know, it's just a massive respect to all the work that the kids do throughout a season. And you know, the kid, that it's so cool that the kids get to watch these kind of things, and y'all do like playoff predictions and things like that, and y'all do all these recaps. Like, the kids get to experience this now, and that wasn't something that we got to say 10 years ago. There was no Lethal Enforcer, there was no 50-50 pod, you know what I mean? Like, and so now, like, these kids get to like feel like a sense of professionalism, you know, because they're gonna be covered, they're going to be shown on TV, they're going to be streamed, they're going to be talked about, and it just makes the game so much better. And you know, like Rafa said, you know, Kennedy Fuller going in and playing a, you know, going to play pro at 17 years old, like, yeah, there's so much of that in the Texas area. There's so much of that in the Texas area. Austin girls are phenomenal, Dallas girls are phenomenal, Houston girls are phenomenal. The boys side is ever growing and ever changing because, you know, it was kind of delayed, but now it's getting better. And it's just, I mean, there's just so much talent. And so the fact that you guys cover it, like, I'm speaking for every coach in the state of Texas, like, thank you for all the work that you guys do, because there's a massive respect to us and our kids. So, I mean, really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Kind words, both of you. Appreciate it. And yeah, I just, like I said in the last episode, I've just, what it's become, and, you know, full respects as well to our friends out at, you know, Lethal Enforcer as well, what they've done. And mm-hmm, I say this humbly, I think collectively what we've been able to do along with them, I think we feel it's just trying to spotlight, showcase our sport, right? grow our sport in a healthy way and for all the right reasons, right? Is everybody going to agree with everything we say or we do? No, absolutely not. There's no such thing, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think why we do it is for our people, for our coaches, for our student athletes, for mm-hmm. our parents, for our communities, right? And telling those stories. Sometimes it's the coaches, sometimes it's the student athletes, sometimes it's just the programs themselves, sometimes it's the community, right? But we love, I've just said, I've had the best seat in the house for going on almost 3.5 years now, and what it's become has been just, it's humbling, so thank you. But yeah, I think before we start wrapping up here, Coach, we want to let you go first and get kind of in stoppage time, any final thoughts? Plug in for your incredible tournament there where I think everybody was a district champion and I don't know what else. Great stuff that you're doing over there with the 4A Elite Tournament. Go ahead. Yeah. Floor is yours, Coach.
You know, just a last plug in on today, you know, really to, you know, 4 really great games. You know, the girls games were phenomenal. They were close contested at 3-1 and 2-1. I thought they were really good. And then both boys games were 1-0. I mean, you know, what a fine margins we're getting into, especially at the lowest level, and in 4A soccer where like it's 1-0 and 1-0. Like what? I mean, you know, there ain't no blowouts. There ain't no, you know, there's nothing like that. I mean, they're very well contested games with very high quality teams. Like I said, massive respects to Coach Parales at Kilgore and Coach Lopez at Navasota, because, you know, even though those guys lost in the day, they were both phenomenal, especially Navasota. I mean, like I said at the earlier in the podcast, I'm a big, you know, typically, you know, Houston kind of, you know, skeptic, you know what I mean? And those guys came in and did phenomenal. I mean, we're really, yeah, really, really great with a really great energy. And I was really impressed. But yeah, in terms of the tournament, I mean, some teams definitely got some invites today. That's what I got to say. Kilgore, Navasota, and San Luis Rosario definitely got some invites today. But no, yeah, that's, you know, so what we do is we try to take the four. We try to take the regional tournament fours from every region, and we send invites out to all the 16. And then people that did a really good job in the tournament this year, we try to keep, and then we kind of try to sift through that. So whatever we get that comes in from the regional tournament winners or the regional tournament placees, whatever, we kind of mix that with the people that did well in the tournament. And yes, to answer your question, there was 10 of 16 or 11 of 16 district champions. We had all 16 teams in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. We had 11 win their first round game, I think 10 or 11 win their first round game. And then we had 5 in the third round, and we had 2 in regional tournaments. And so it was good. You know, I'd like to grow on all those numbers and obviously make them more. But yeah, I mean, it was a really solid tournament, and, you know, it is kind of slowly becoming the best in 4A. We try to do things like, you know, t-shirts and the media coverage and things like that. We try to partner with Lethal and stuff like that, because at the end of the day, that's what kids want to see, you know. And that's what comes back to massive respect to you guys. You know, kids love that, man. Kids want to be shown off and kind of plastered around, and I mean, that's what they want. They love that kind of stuff. They eat it up. I mean, you know, when y'all do preseason rankings and Lethal does preseason rankings and all those kind of ranking things, like kids are like, hey, we're number 13. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, they're fired up about that kind of stuff, you know? So we try to kind of feed into that and do those kind of things too. And yeah, it's become an incredible experience. You know, I've always wanted to host tournaments. That's always something I wanted to do. And, you know, when we went down to 4A, I was like, you know, we can do something really special here where we just take people from all over the state and make it like a little state tournament, like right here in our own home. And it's kind of slowly turning into that. So I really hope that it continues to grow and get better. So,
well, you've done a phenomenal job. Keep up the great work, man. And that community is lucky to have you and your coaching staff as well. So keep doing what you're doing. So, yes, Rafa, final thoughts, stoppage time. What do you got?
I was going to ask Coach, any plans in the future to a 32-team tournament?
We only have one stadium, and so we play just smack through the whole, you know, all Thursday, all Friday, all, you know, most of Saturday, because we only have one facility. I would pray to the Lord that we got a second facility, because if we did, I mean, you know, just like that, we're going 24 or 32, like, you know, so that would be awesome. But no, I mean, you know, that would be cool to do, you know. But I think also too, you know, when you have really great things, it's also good to have kind of a little like exclusivity, to what you do.
No.
You know what I mean? You know, not, you know, and I'm not bragging at myself in any way, shape or form, but you know, nobody, you know, people don't just walk into the 50-50 podcast. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, you try to get a variety of different people, but you know, people that are doing some really special thing, you know, it's important to be highlighted as, you know, special, or that you're doing your job well, or that you're giving so much to your community or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And so when you get that, you know, 16 team invite to a really special tournament, it means a lot more than if it was 32 or 64 or, you know, whatever, you know, just like going to the state tournament, you know, there's only four teams in every age group. I mean, in every division group, you know, so it has that specialness and that charm factor to it, you know what I mean? So I kind of like where we're at at 16, you know. I would love the Rafa 32 and just have people from all over Texas. That'd be great. But,
or I've seen one in the Valley that had 64. So I know, I've seen crazy. Those before, which is insane. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had people from everywhere. We had Progreso that came 10 hours. We had Pampa that came 9 hours. Perryton was like 8.5 or something like that.
Wow.
You know, CC London was like,
good for them,
8 or 9 hours. I mean, it was just cool to have all those people. You know, we had people in our community come out to those games, and we're like, where are these people from? You know, that was just a really cool experience. So it was really special. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, all I'm going to say is I'm a large. Okay. That's all I'm just going to leave it at that.
Is Rafa an XL? Larger XL.
I like them loose. So I like them a little bit bigger.
Okay. Well, large and XL.
Okay. There you go. Look at them pretending to write. So Rafa, go ahead, buddy.
Just final thoughts. Like I said, you know, going, you know, good luck teams, the rest of the teams, and the ones that are into the final tomorrow, and then the ones in the semifinal. Some great matchups. You know, like I said, to get this far says a lot about your program, and then also, you know, talking about our like our coverage and so forth. You know, we did take our time to do this. To feature, you know, the teams, the players, the coaches. You know, we're not doing this for money. We're not doing this for the likes. You know, we want to give the proper love for the players and for the coaches, because, you know, me being a former high school coach, you know, it's like I said, it's a fraternity. You know, you're very protective of this, and you want to make sure, you know, that it gives the proper coverage and so forth to the players and the coaches. And I just love it. Like I said, I love this time, you know, I know it's sad, it's ending, but it's fun going to the state tournaments, you know, watching these teams and who gets to lift the trophies. A lot of great stories you get to hear. And so I'm looking forward to what turns out these next 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. And again, a reminder, go on there, like, rate, subscribe, site, click that bell on YouTube, go on there. We're trying to grow our YouTube page, continue to help us grow our YouTube page. Click that bell, sign up for the notification. So anytime we go live, which is about 99% of the time, because almost everything we do is live. So it's raw, uncut. You get to see it, whether we start on time, technical issues, or we screw something up. We don't hide behind it. We put it out there. But go on there, like, rate, subscribe. You can follow us. If you're listening to this after the fact, you can go follow us on Twix, I guess we call it, Twitter X, right? As well as Twitch at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast. And then you can also find us on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Sign up. And again, if you're listening to the audio podcast, go on there, give us a rating. That just further helps us grow the podcast and just makes us more visible to more listeners. And that's exactly what we want. And, you know, we're now checked the numbers. Actually, yesterday, we are now being listened to in 52 countries. So, which is pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. And thank you. So thank you for all our listeners, all our supporters, everybody, parents, student athletes, administrators, everybody that's listening, right? Just our community. Happy to be able to play a small role in growing our sport and just strengthening our profession. But also, it's a great time of year. It can be a little bit bittersweet because it's coming to an end, but you know, I call this week championship week. It's our culmination of champions. It's our, here in San Antonio, I call it the fiesta before our fiesta here in San Antonio, right? And then it's, you know, the festival of football. Is these are some of the common names I like to call this week, because it is a special week. And you know, different players, Texas high school soccer players whose seasons have ended, guess what? They're talking about all these results, right, in their schools, and they're tracking this stuff. So it's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. And we're just glad to be able to be a small part of it. So thank you, again for Coach Alexi Upton of Sulphur Springs Wildcats. Coach, thank you for being here, one of our resident 4A experts. Now, Coach, one last thing that I had, a quick little plug, something that you're working on behind the scenes that you're helping kind of pioneer beyond 4A. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I'm working with a panel of like 5 or 6 coaches, and we're really trying to push for 3A soccer. You know, so everybody that's a part of that, there's a doc that's coming out, a Google Doc that's coming out. And it just has some information on there. If you're a 3A or 2A school, you know, hey, fill out your information, whether you're boys coach or girls coach. It has different tabs for both of those. And then it has a tab at the very end that says add school. And so maybe you're a school that's a 2A or a 3A and you don't have soccer, but you're like, hey, if 3A soccer happens, that's super cool for us and we'd love to be a part of it. You fill yourself in that add tab comment, and it started going around pretty well across the state. And so I think, you know, that representation of kids is just massively important. You know what I mean? I told somebody today, Christian Pulisic is from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, like I'd never heard of Hershey, Pennsylvania until Christian Pulisic came from there. You know what I mean? Like, I know that that's like, isn't that where like Hershey's also from?
Hershey chocolate, like right? Yeah,
Hershey chocolate. But I genuinely didn't know that. Like, I really didn't know that until I heard that. And so, you know, we don't know where the next superstar is coming from. We don't know if he's coming from, you know, a 3A Yoakum or a 3A.
Yeah, look at the story of Clint Dempsey out of Nacogdoches, right?
I mean, there's two Nacogdoches schools, and there's a Central Pollock 3A, and there's NAC Central Heights as a 3A. You know what I mean? Like, there's two schools in NAC that are 3As, you know? And so we don't know where these kids are coming from, you know? And they could be the next greatest player could be coming from an area that that's not developed because we're not providing that opportunity. Or more importantly, let's just get more kids involved in the game, playing the beautiful game. I mean, really, that's what I'm really trying to fight for as an advocate of, is just having more opportunity for kids to play in a competitive environment that matches them. Because, you know, putting 3As in those 4A settings is, you know, hurting, is almost damaging more than it is helpful. Because, yes, they're playing, but, you know, some of them are losing, you know, 8-0, 10-0, 12-0, 15-0, 20-0, you know what I mean? Yeah. And what is that really doing for our game? It's honestly hurting it more than it's helping it. You know what I mean? So it's something that we're fighting for a lot. And like I said, I'm on a panel of about 5 or 6 guys, and, you know, we're trying to push that through and really get after that in the next, you know, I'd probably say 15 to 30 days, you know, before we get to like a June 1st, and kind of really trying to push and fill that out, and just get data and information and interest and things like that. So,
yeah. Awesome. Great stuff. Yep. Thank you again. That is, he is Coach Alexi Upton, again, the head men's soccer coach of the Sulphur Springs Wildcats. Coach, thank you. Rafa, appreciate you, brother. Thank you for everything. Appreciate you.
Gracias, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. All our listeners and supporters, really appreciate you guys. Thank you for everything.
Kukui. What was it? Chamoy? What
was it called? El Kukui.
Kukui, I gotta remember
El
that.
Kukui. Hey, I told Coach, you're gonna have to start marketing those T-shirts with the Kukui T-shirt.
Hey, if you had a 50/50 podcast shirt with the Kukui on it, I'd freaking get that shirt. That's hilarious.
That would be. Now, if they show up in Georgetown with El Kukui shirt, dude, I'm running with that. I'm running with that. That'd be awesome. That'd be so cool. Right?
Or something like a flag or something like that, like the
guy. There you go. Yeah. Again, it's important that they know that is an affectionate nickname, right? That is like a compliment, not a don't take it the other way and run with it. So no,
it is.
All right, let's get out of here. So again, we will be coming back to you tomorrow, approximately 30 to 45 minutes after tomorrow's last match.
Don't rush out of the shower. Don't rush out of your hotel shower. Run down to the lobby.
And then you're like, we got five matches. This show has officially gone off the rails. So we got 5 matches tomorrow. First match starting at 9:30. We will crown our first champion, 4A girls, which should be a classic. I hope it's a classic between Salina, all right, Salina Lady Bobcats and the Burnie Lady Greyhounds. Hope we're in store for an absolute classic. So for Coach Alexi Upton and Coach Rafa Gasorena, I am Coach Hector Cano, and you know what to do. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening. You've been listening to the 50/50 Podcast, powered by the 50/50 Podcast Network. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on X at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.